Welcome, everybody. My name is Neva, and I'm a compulsive eater. Hi. Welcome to the workshop on how the miracle of abstinence is supported by the fellowship. After a moment of silence, for those who still suffer inside and outside of these rooms, would you please join me in the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The format of our meeting tonight is that we will have three speakers who will speak for 15 minutes each, and then we will have open sharing. The focus of this workshop is around three questions. When you come up for open sharing, if you need a reminder of these questions, there's a copy of them here on the podium for you to refer to. I will read them to you now, and I'll read them to you again right at the beginning of the open sharing period. The questions are, 1, how does being involved in my OA community support my abstinence? 2, do I understand that the fellowship, while important, is only a part of the solution? 3, how do I welcome others to participate and become involved in OA? What examples do I set? And now I would like to introduce our first speaker for this evening, who is Beverly.
Hello, I'm Beverly, and I'm a food addict and compulsive overeater. Hi. And I'll just very quickly qualify. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I've been in OA half my life, 32 years. And which is a miracle, started in Region 7. I'm now in Region 5. I'm maintaining a weight loss of about between 40 and 50 pounds. And I've got over 2 years of abstinence at this point. This is a really wonderful topic for me because when I first came into OA, I had a really hard time with intimacy and a hard time with people. My disease had me isolated most of my life. So coming into OA, it was pretty scary letting people know who I was. I just thought, I'll come into the meeting, I'll get the prescription, tell me what I need to do, give me all the rules, I can do that, I can study, I can do well in school, you know, and then I'll leave. That didn't work. They told me that I needed to get a sponsor, and I got a sponsor fairly quickly because someone had brought me into the rooms and said, you need to talk to that person. So I got a sponsor pretty quickly. But maintaining a relationship with a sponsor was really, really scary for me because of my low self-opinion and the fact that I'd been isolated so much in my disease. I thought that as soon as somebody really got to know who I was, they wouldn't want to be with me. So I would last for maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, and back then in the day, after about 21 days of abstinence, I would be able to sponsor. Well, I was also the oldest of four, and the last thing I wanted to do was be the mommy. You know, I thought if I graduated, now I had to tell people what to do. You know, I didn't have a clue about what the program was. So I had sponsors. I would disappear. I stayed in the rooms, but I would constantly switch sponsors. I would stop calling because of the fear of having to sponsor other people, the fear of anybody getting to really know me. And this went on for quite a few years, and I just got so frustrated and finally hit a bottom. And I remember sitting in a meeting and looking around and saying, what is it that people who have long-term abstinence have that I don't have? And the only thing that I could see was that they socialized. They had the fellowship. They had the meetings before the meetings. They met afterwards for maybe a meal. And that was something that scared me because I was never a joiner, you know, all because of those issues that I had within to me see, right? So I found the most gregarious person in the room, and I remember going up to her, scared as could be, and I said to her, would you be my friend? I really said that. I mean, here I was in my 30s. Would you be my friend? And what was funny was that she had compulsive overeating in her history that related to the fact that I'm a compulsive overeater. But her journey was that she was so outspoken that she tended to push people away. And to have somebody, she had told me later, to have somebody come up to her and want to be her friend blew her away and changed her in certain ways. That was not my, you know, what I wanted. But I gradually became a part of the OA community. It wasn't just about, I'll go to a meeting and, by the way, maybe leave a little early so I don't have to hold hands, you know, so people don't get to know me. Gradually, I got to know these people. Well, these people, because of the fellowship, were also working together, giving service. They were giving service at the meeting level. They were giving service in other ways, an intergroup. And here I was finding myself an intergroup. And because of the intergroup work, there's a lot of work that goes on outside of the intergroup rooms as well. And I got to know people. And I got to realize that there were certain things I did well that maybe other people didn't do as well. And there were other things that people did better than me, and it was okay. And we could all work together. And we all have the basis of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions to help guide us. And my higher power got me through all of those anxiety attacks. I had anxiety attacks sitting in intergroup meetings way back then. I don't know how I remained in those rooms because it wasn't like a regular OA meeting. You know, it was different. People's personalities came out, you know. And here I was like, ugh. But the beautiful thing was I started to make friends, real friends, people who understood me. And I started feeling more valuable because I saw that they valued me and that maybe I did have something to contribute. I kind of fell into giving service on a board level in our intergroup when all the boards stepped down because they had lost their abstinence, and I was a vice chair. I'd been told I could run as vice chair and not have to do anything. And then I ended up becoming chair. And I said, okay, if I'm chair, guess what? The wonderful thing about fellowship, I think it's an essential part of this program. That's really what helped me keep coming back because I made relationships here. It wasn't just about doing the steps and learning about myself and then, you know, moving on. Today in my life, most of my friends are in program. I haven't been giving service, haven't given service at the World Service level in about 5 or 6 years. And I walked in and, gosh, I know so many people here. It's beautiful. I met my husband in OA. That's a side issue. And I know that's step 13. We don't go there. But that was a beautiful side to it. But it's part of my life today. It's part of what I do, what I am. And a large part of it is that fellowship. I know what happens to me. When I start to know I'm in trouble with the food is when I start to feel like, you know, I don't want to answer the phone. I don't want to make that phone call. Maybe I'll go to the meeting, but I'll just run out really quick at the end and not speak to people afterwards. So I know that I'm in trouble then because my disease of isolation is really, really sneaky. And if I was ever away from any of my home groups for any too long of a time, I would get phone calls, and I have gotten phone calls. It really saved me too because I ended up having to move from New Jersey, where I grew up, and I grew up in OA in New Jersey, and moved for a job to Cleveland, Ohio 10 years ago with my husband. And we, the first thing we did is said, when's there an intergroup meeting so we can go, you know? And we walked in there and we knew people because we'd given service at Region 7 level. And it was just like, it was a strange place, but it wasn't a strange place because of the fellowship, because of the relationships that we've developed. I think today, in this day and age of the internet and virtual meetings and virtual everything else, you know, there was once a thought that it would take over everything else. But the glue that keeps those groups and people together is the relationships we form. I don't believe that it can replace the program. Sometimes people, you know, might focus more on that. But when I came to Cleveland, Alan and I decided that we were still going to have our annual OA New Year's Eve party. And we have an open house. And we've gotten so close to people now in the Cleveland area that it's like a second home to us. It's like a first home to us. I remember when I first started there, somebody asked me to sponsor her. And she'd been in program about as long as I had, but obviously from the Midwest. And I was so excited because I'd had so much fellowship in New Jersey. I was ready to bring it all in. You know, here comes Jersey into Cleveland, Ohio, right? And a little out there. So I said to her, we don't have to meet at a coffee shop. Come on over to my house. Alan's working late, and we could sit at the table and have coffee. And she got really quiet, and she said, we don't do that here in Ohio. And I went, okay, I'll meet you for coffee. And I was like, I want to go home. But, you know, there's different practices and different personalities. And I've learned that I don't have to take anything personally. That person has become one of my closest friends. And that relationship needed to be gradual. It's okay. But I've learned a lot about that. I need that. I absolutely need every one of you. I need the hugs in the hallway. And I need the phone calls. And it's just, to me, a very, very valuable part of my program. I believe that we're probably preaching to the choir here in this venue. But I have to remind myself that when the disease gets hold of me, and it does sometimes, because I'm retired now, and I'm home watching my great-granddaughter a lot of the time, and it's very easy to just be in the house and get busy with cleaning, and, you know, I've been abstinent, but I start to feel like, well, there's really nobody to talk to, and there's really nothing to do. I grab a hold of those meetings and go, and I've been adding more meetings, and I've been meeting my sponsees for coffee, and for me, that's what's keeping me abstinent today, and I thank you very much.
Kia ora. I'm Faith, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Auckland, New Zealand, in Region 10. I've got notes. 27 years ago, or more than that, I came to OA. I was afraid, isolated, out of control. I was alone, and I was living a life of secret. I was feeding myself while pretending everything was fine, everything was perfect, and I was okay. That didn't work. At my first meeting, I was told to attend 6 meetings before I made my mind up. And by the 6th meeting, I was at an OA weekend retreat. And there I heard lots of people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. I was no longer alone, and I knew there was a way out because I'd heard all those people sharing. My OA community quickly grew to include a sponsor who are... Sorry? My OA community quickly grew to include a sponsor who I used. I did what I was told, and I called her at 25 past 7 every morning. It actually never occurred to me that I didn't do it. She put that side of time aside, and I took her seriously. Using my sponsor and the steps to understand and work program meant I got abstinent pretty quickly. And when I found my hand full of food feeding my face, and I realized then, I identified I was a compulsive overeater, and all those stories I heard at that weekend, they just bounced back at me, but I knew there was a solution. From the start, I've attended meetings. First, I only attended one, then I realized I needed two, and then I realized I needed more, and I attended three a week. They were different. They were a step meeting. I went to a newcomer sharing meeting, and I went to a literature meeting. Each of them supports my abstinence in a different way, keeps me focused on program and the basics of the recovery. And I continue to attend three meetings a week. And it keeps me in a place to hear the truth, to not forget who I am, to reach out, and to be that footprint that another person can follow, as step 12 suggests to us. I started a newcomers meeting that still exists 27 years ago, and I can see somebody here today who's been to that meeting. And sharing with them kept the truth of how bad compulsive overeating was. It kept it fresh, because you see, I never want to forget that truth. I'm very grateful, and I respect that awareness. Service keeps me at the center of OA, and it connects me with others. I've got an emergency strategy, and I've shared with people, and now I'm sharing with you. What I say when I'm struggling is, with one of life's issues, is God knows what God's about. And if you ever hear me saying, God knows what God's about, it means I'm trusting, but I'm struggling, and I need to reach out to others. But I've also got an emergency strategy that I make sure that there's some people in my OA community that I can call at any time of the day or night and say, I need to connect with you. Because you see, food's not my option. So if food's not my option, I have to have an emergency strategy. We'll be voting on the sponsorship pamphlet, and sponsorship has been and continues to be a way to connect on a deeper level to support my recovery and my abstinence. And I have to take work and take action on being in the fellowship, but just being in the fellowship's not enough. I actually have to, and going to meetings isn't enough, I actually have to do a lot more for my recovery. I need to deal with that in me, which is what drives me to the food. I have a disease of the spirit, which is, we've got one of our chapters is about that. And I needed to take a really honest look and a courageous look at what I understood my higher power was. Because I realized that my higher power wasn't caring or loving or helpful, and it needed to change. And only by working all the 12 steps can I address that spirit, that hole inside of me that drove me to the food. And then I got the freedom from the obsession. As I've said, food isn't my option. You know, I am committed to abstinence. It's not negotiable. So regardless of the situation, certain foods and behaviors just don't work for me. So if they aren't an option, then I need God and the fellowship and the tools to help me identify the issue and move on with the steps. And so, you know, I do weekly step meetings. I do steps with sponsees. I find wisdoms in the literature like Lifeline and the Daily Readers, as well as all of the step books that lead me to be convinced that when something in my life seems unmanageable, I need to work the steps on it. And these are the questions I ask myself to begin 12-stepping a problem. What's unmanageable? What would sanity look like in this situation? What do I need to do to turn over to God? And then that can lead me to my defects, and then I can get on with the steps. So a really strange example is recently I needed to buy a new car. It was a lot of money. So I tried to find the perfect new car. So I went to lots of places to find what all the cars looked like. I then created a big spreadsheet, and it had all of the models of the cars along the top, and it had all of the criteria down the side. The trouble is it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some stage, I realized life was getting unmanageable. And what were the symptoms? Well, actually, I was stuck. I was just keeping on getting more and more information. So what would sanity look like? And when I stopped and got into step two, I realized that I needed to be able to open the car door because the arthritis in my hands means it's difficult. I needed to be able to put my luggage in and out of the boot. Those were the key things. That actually means that all of the rest of those things were irrelevant. And when I did that, I was able to find a car. But that isn't what it was about, because that what had happened was, what had also stopped me was that I had wanted someone to help me make the decision, and I'd wanted a big brother to kick the tires, to work the, you know, make sure it was a good car and make the deal right. And then I realized that's what my higher power was for. And when I did that, that's when it all fell into place. So, and then I had to talk with my sponsor about the defects that came up, my perfectionism, my wanting to be rescued. And that meant that I could get on with the rest of the steps. So I'm passionate about OA. It saved my life. I'm consistently at meetings. I find ways to get newcomers involved in service. I sponsor. I reach out to those who are still struggling. I'm getting used to texting. I don't text speak. I go whole words. I've sat on the floor in an airport in the gate lounge in Las Vegas when the lady who walked off the plane beside me desperately looked at a shop that we passed and just went, oh. And I said, that doesn't speak to me anymore. And she turned to me and said, how can you do that? And that's when we got to sit on the floor and talk about OA. The miracle of fellowship is that I'm loved and I'm accepted despite my foibles and my imperfections. And I care about others, but I try not to fix them. OA isn't an appendage in my life, something to do when it's convenient. I don't get to graduate. This fellowship, God, the steps are vital to my maintaining my abstinence and continued recovery. Members in fellowship share their stories through Lifeline and our books, etc. And these have been great extra sources of strength for me. One time was when life was really difficult because food wasn't an option. I had to do something else. I took the book, A New Beginning, and I studied, you know, each story for three key messages. And I went through it, and I found after a while, as I reflected, that there were about five recurring themes. And that really fascinated me, and they helped to strengthen my recovery during that difficult time. And I've not done a similar exercise with our new books, the OA3 and the abstinence book, but I think it would be really fascinating to do. And I'm wondering if you're willing to join me on that journey to see what key messages you can uncover as you study each of the stories for those key messages. So I take absolutely seriously the commitment of program of step 12 and tradition 5, because they tell me that this isn't a give or take. They tell me that I have to carry the message. They tell me it's about fellowship. And recently, we were asked to give examples too. Recently, I have been in a meeting that has been situated at the top of a very steep flight of stairs, and it's around the back of a building, and it's winter now at home, and the meeting is in the dark. You know, to get to it, you have to walk there in the dark. It's a newcomers meeting. I can't see how that is inviting. I can't see how that encourages a person to attend. And we've had several group consciences, and it's not changed. But now time has evolved. You know, our traditions say if the meeting's not right, the numbers will drop off. So the numbers have dropped off, and a group conscience has been held. And they said, yes, we need to look for a new meeting. And as soon as we said that, guess what? A new venue turned up. And it's on the level, it's in a really light, open area. And that's what it's about, because the meeting has to be welcoming. It has to be a place that people can find. And nobody's going to easily make it up a steep flight of stairs in the dark, especially if they're a frightened newcomer. So, I'm incredibly grateful to OA. It saved my life. And it's this fellowship that did it and kept me abstinent. Thank you.
I'm a little taller. My name is Neva. I'm a compulsive eater. I came to this fellowship a little over 21 years ago. And just sitting thinking about that before I got up here, I thought, well, I've kind of grown up in OA. But I came here desperate. And the way that that came about is that I had been sober in another 12-step program for about 4 years. And I was doing some volunteer work in a totally outside organization and made friends with a woman. And I was carpooling with her one day to one of the services that we were doing for this volunteer organization. And we started talking about our families. And all of a sudden, there were terms like higher power and letting go and letting God. And we're looking at each other, and I'm going, what is your 12-step program? And she told me about OA. And that stopped over, it was over 20 years of yo-yo dieting. You know, up 25 pounds, down 15, in pretty much that pattern, you know. And I had just, within the past year of that, at that time, been on another diet and exercise program and lost a whole bunch of weight and been about as fit as I had been in my adult life, and got off the diet. I mean, that was part of the pattern. You get on the diet, you get to a comfortable place, and then you stop the diet. You don't need it anymore, right? Well, after that conversation with her, I couldn't get on another diet, and my weight was going up. And so out of desperation, it took me about 3 months trying to get on another diet. Out of desperation, I called her and asked her to take me to a meeting. And I was home right away, and I knew I would be. I had found home before, and I found home again. And And right away, I understood that I had, I identified a particular food as that had become my drug of choice. Perhaps it always had been, but it had been covered up with other things for a while. And so I began my abstinence within a couple of months after starting to go to that OA meeting. My abstinence has evolved over time. A couple months later, heard a gentleman get up at the meeting and talk about eating three meals a day and living life in between, and I realized that grazing was one of my eating behaviors that needed to be let go of. So all that dieting stopped working, all of my willpower stopped working, but I started to get abstinent in OA. And it was because I was in a room of people that understood, that had the same problems that I had, that had the same insanity that I had. I heard in these rooms that I was as sick as my secrets. And I don't think I believed that at first, but over time that proved to be true for me too. And I seemed to pick sponsors that, and I didn't become conscious of this until like maybe the third sponsor, but I seemed to be picking sponsors that scared me a little. And what I realized about that was that I had a spirit in me that wanted to continue to grow. And in order to continue to grow, I had to be willing to step outside of my comfort zone. So once I recognized that pattern, whenever I needed to change sponsors, and that happened for a number of reasons. The other person moved, or I moved, or in one case, my sponsor relapsed. You know, each time it had to do with who in the room had something that I wanted, and I was just a little bit afraid to ask for it. And so I've continued to grow. And my current sponsor I've had for a number of years now. And under her tutelage, I have graduated to doing service at the intergroup level and at the region level. And I have surrendered to seeing a professional dietitian about what it is I should be eating. And I have been able to be part of a small group of OA members starting a new meeting. I never thought that I would do something like that. I'm a natural born introvert, believe it or not. I have survived things in OA that I never thought that I could survive. I had tragedy in my life before I got into recovery, but in OA, I lost my second child and my last child, so I stopped being a mother. And in OA, I lost my husband of over 40 years. And I've survived those things. And it's because of the fellowship. It's because I'm not the only one in this room who's ever lost a child. And I'm not the only one in this room who's lost a long-term relationship. You know, I'm never alone in these rooms. So the fellowship is a really important part of my recovery. And it's not the only part. Of course, I have to work the steps. I have to use the tools. I have to stretch outside of my introverted self and bit by bit, slowly, a little bit at a time, learn to use the telephone when I'm struggling. And in recent months, I'm expanding my technological view and I'm texting. I'm doing email on my phone this week because the laptop I have is way out of date, and I'm waiting for the new system to come onto the market, you know. So, you know, I have to expand my horizons. I have to do things I'm afraid to do. I have to continue to grow to stay in recovery. My sponsor has told me over and over again, if I think I'm standing still in my recovery, I'm really sliding backwards. I need to keep putting one foot in front of the other and moving forward. Sponsoring is a challenging thing for an introvert. But I seem to attract the people that I need to learn from. And I'm really grateful for that. If I'm not learning something in the sponsoring relationship, probably the sponsee is not learning anything in that relationship. And they generally will wander away and hopefully find somebody that has what they want. But I have learned so much from sponsoring people. Beyond the steps, I have learned that I can work the traditions and I can work the concepts, and that they, as well as the 12 steps, have a place in my personal life. And they have principles that I can live by and carry into other areas of my life. And that is an amazing thing. I am a very intellectual and analytical person, and I also love to be in school and study. And so I love that expansion to be able to bring those principles into my life. Boy, I've really given you my journey in a real nutshell here tonight. And so I think what I'd like to do at this point is to stop my personal share and get us started on the next part of this meeting. So thank you for allowing us to speak to you tonight on our personal experience. And I'm going to also point out, Faith mentioned in her share a couple of pieces of literature. And on our instruction sheet for this workshop, we have three pieces of literature that are recommended for this topic. They are the pamphlet, A Guide for Sponsors, the book, Overeaters Anonymous, third edition, and The Abstinence, second edition. Highly recommend all of them to you. Also, I will repeat the three questions so that when we open the floor for sharing, you will hopefully focus on the topic for the workshop. So question number one, how does being involved in my OA community support my abstinence? Two, do I understand that the fellowship, while important, is only a part of the solution? And three, how do I welcome others to participate and become involved in OA? And what examples do I set? So we have a timer tonight, and I have a copy of them right here on the podium. So if you would like, when you come up to speak, you may pick this up and refer to it. Okay? All right. So that'll be right there on the podium. Thanks. Thank you. So I want to remind you, yes? $286. Thank you very much. Okay, so I've already given you the ground rule to please focus on the topic and that we have a timer. We'd like you to try and limit your share to 3 minutes if possible. And we are being recorded here tonight, so we have a speaker release form for you to sign over at the end of the table here. So if you would like to speak tonight, if you would like to share, if you could come and line up over on this side of the room and sign the release form before you come up to the mic. Thank you.
I'm a compulsive overeater, and my name is Dory. And you just heard my story. You condensed the three of them. I've been in program for 23 years, and I've been abstinent for 22 as of January. And I love the books and the idea about spreading the taking that story and studying it, and I think that's a real good key to come back. But I can't imagine being abstinent today without service. It was what got me, and it was a simple little thing. We had a visitor come from our intergroup, and they said they were looking for people who would man the phones, and our the local phone line, you would call and you would be given three names and phone numbers that to pick from and would call. And I had been struggling for months. I might get 3 or 4 days of abstinence, and I tried, but of course I was trying to do it alone. And anyway, I got a call one day, and she asked me if I said no, but you know, I heard something in the second meeting I was at. And it was, one lady said, I came for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. And I almost cried when she said that, because I thought, if I could say I was sane about any part of my life, never mind the food was the worst, but then I'm never leaving these rooms till my hair is white. And now I'm saying I'm never leaving these rooms till my hair is blue. I love blue. So for St. Patrick's Day, next year, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put some green tint in my hair. Anyway, that's that was the thing. Early on, I had a sponsor, and later we sponsored each other. But I remember her speaking at a convention. She said, if there's in this program, you either progress or you regress, because there's no such word as gressing. So that's, you know, that was, I love words like that. I sat in a meeting one day, and we were doing a step study, and the word rationalization was there. And I looked at that word, and I said, oh, ration, lies, and I was really good at that, lying to myself, and it was just sort of, and what I thought you wanted to hear and all that things, it's just another way of rationing the lies, and when you do that, you shun the truth. And I love OA because it's helped me to recognize my own truth, and it has given me a voice. I too was, I did nothing in a meeting for 9 months, my first 9 months. And someone called me Christmas Day and said, you can't keep the program unless you give it away. And it was the first phone call I ever got from OA. And I've never forgotten it, and I try very hard to do it. And you know what? That phone has lost its weight. So, and I've been doing it again. And so I think that was, my time was up, so I'm going to say thank you very much.
My name is Beverly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Beverly.
And grateful to be abstinent and here today. And I love the topic of fellowship. Very early in my program, I managed to make a phone call one day when I was basically white-knuckle abstinent that day. I was having a really hard time. And I'll never forget, I said to this gal, "Boy, I want to eat everything in sight." And she said, "I'll come over." And I was stunned. And for some reason, which was not like me, I didn't say, "Oh, no, 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 no. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine." I said, "Okay." So she offered fellowship, and I accepted fellowship and stayed abstinent. And I truly believe that something, a gift that we give each other in this program is time, care, and attention. And the question, the purpose of the workshop talks about the fellowship we crave. And that brings to me the questions like, sometimes when somebody really wants to eat, it's like, "No, what do you really need? What do you really need?" And it's never the food. And very often for me, it's like, I need to be with my people. And another gift of our fellowship is I have people with whom I share common values. We share a common language. You people get me. Even if you've never met me, if we sat down and had a conversation, you get where I'm coming from. And that is a comfort to me. I have a lot of people in my life who don't understand. They care about me, but they don't speak this language, and I need this language. My kids say, "Mom, you have a lot of friends." And I do, and I love that. And I also want to say, the meeting after the meeting has always been important to me. And there was a time in my program I was in a horrible relapse and had regained 100 pounds. And really the reason I kept going to meetings is, one, I didn't know where else to go, but two, that's where my friends were. And I was probably going to get a chance to have coffee with them after the meeting. And that was a tremendous help to me. OA people have taken me to doctor's appointments. They've brought meetings to my home. They've walked me through anything. And just one more thing on fellowship. It lets me practice being with people. That's always been hard for me. And when I came in these rooms, I had no idea how to be with people. And when I first was in program, I was brand new, and there was another woman who came in probably the same meeting I did. And I had shared that making phone calls was like, "No way can I do that." And it wasn't hard for her. So she started calling me. She said, "Well, it's not hard for me. So I figured since it was hard for you, I'd call you." And she helped me get over that. So thanks for letting me share.
Somebody took the paper.
I didn't bring anything up because it was supposed to be here. Hi, my name's Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. I'm from Region 6. This is my first year as a delegate. I'm a green dot. I was a volunteer last year, so I'm not a real green dot. I'm a half a green dot. Let's see, I came into program in 1999, so I've been around 16 years. Came into program in 1999, so I've been around about 16 years. I had lost about 62 pounds, but I relapsed about 6-7 years into it, gained it all back, and came back about 2 years later. I was in the rooms. I stayed in the rooms, but came back 2 years later, and back. I'm down about 45, 46 pounds now, and have about 6 years. So what the fellowship has done for me is this is where the healing power is. I knew what I needed to know while I was out in relapse. And every day I would start, and I knew what I needed to do. But I can't do it alone. I tried really, 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 really hard because I did not want to come back into these rooms. And my 19-year-old son, I was talking to him one day about it while I was out in relapse. And he said, "Well, just go back to OA." And I said, "I don't want to go back there." And I ticked off a list of reasons why I didn't want to come back. Nobody called me, and someone did the week after that. and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't want to have to weigh, well, I was weighing and measuring my food, except for the food I wasn't weighing and measuring. But I didn't want to have to. But I was weighing and measuring the food I wrote down every morning. I just wasn't weighing and measuring the stuff that wasn't written down. But, you know, I didn't want to have to call somebody and tell her what I was going to eat. I didn't want to do all the stuff. I knew what I had to do. And he said, but it worked. So, and then I was talking to my daughter about it. And she said, well, just go back till you lose the weight. You know, so they had been with me through this. They knew exactly what I needed to do. So a week after they went back to school, I went back to OA because they were in college. And I haven't left. And what I did was, knowing that I needed to get to the meetings, because that's where the recovery is for me, because it's in the meetings with the fellowship, with the people, I took a service position in both of my home groups. Because I always have a reason not to go to a meeting. I have a headache. I'm too tired. I'll go next Tuesday, whatever. So I had a key for a meeting that was always open when I got there. Somebody got there before me. And I brought the milk to a meeting that somebody else always brought the milk to, until I stood up and said, stop bringing it. I promise I'll keep coming. So that's it. This is where the healing power is.
Hi, I'm Stella. I'm a compulsive overeater from England in Region 9. I just want to say that in the beginning, when I've been back in program 15 years, and to start off with, I was working as compulsively as I was eating. And I was arrogant enough to think that I didn't need the fellowship. I'd heard somebody, the fellowship itself, not the steps. I heard somebody on a tape originally say that they weren't allowed, because of their position, they weren't allowed to actually join in the fellowship, but they could work the program. And that suited me, because at the time, my life meant that I could work the program, but I couldn't do the fellowship. And I realize now how arrogant that was. But I chose a sponsor, worked the steps. She gave me three conditions that I still do, and I asked sponsees to do. One of them was to give service. One of them was to go to meetings. And the third thing was to work the steps to the best of my ability. And all those things, I now realize, hooked me into the fellowship. I still ask my sponsees to do that. And I now realize that the love that I get from fellow OAers, I can't get outside other than in my very close family relationships. And, you know, one lady talked about going through pain in those 15 years. I've had an ordinary life in a lot of respects, but there has been some pain in there. And the support from the fellowship is absolutely incredible. So I guess my fellow OAers have shown me how to be abstinent in the long haul, and in the good and in the bad. And all I do is just do the same and try and repay that. So I ask my sponsees to do those things, and that brings them into the fellowship. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Marilyn, and I'm a compulsive over and under eater, and I'm from Region 6 from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And it's a miracle to be here, really. It's a fellowship. The support of the fellowship that I'm here and actually standing here and sharing with people is a miracle. And I just want to thank you guys. I identified with aspects of all your stories, so that was really good for me. And that's the whole, for me, that's the part of it, that when I walked into rooms, I've been around OA over 36 years, and I'll never forget my first meeting. I just felt like I felt... just in such a rage. I didn't know what I was feeling, actually, but thinking about it, I was just so scared. I had been, you know, up and down the scale. I'd been in, you know, weight loss programs, and I just knew they wouldn't work. And the thing for me is, when I came to my first meeting, I really identified. I mean, I identified very strongly with somebody who shared, and that for me is the fellowship, the sharing. Over the years, people sharing and having the courage and the honesty to share with me, either at a meeting or privately, has just lifted that shame from my shoulders. And that, to me, was, it just kept me in the disease and away from abstinence. I was just so afraid. I was actually afraid. I've been abstinent now for 23 years, and that's just a miracle to be able to keep that. And, I, you know, in OA was just starting in Montreal at that time. It was 2 years old, and so everybody was doing new things. So I became very quickly involved in intergroup because there just was nobody else to do it. But the point is, I think at my second meeting, there were a few people going from my area, like within about a 4-street radius, and two of them didn't have a car, and I had a car, and another person had a car. So they just said, okay, you know, we go together, you're driving us. And, you know, and that was it. And they went to 3 meetings a week, and it was like a carpool, and they just took me in. And that was, you know, to be accepted like that, for something that I hated. I was just so in a rage about my eating, so angry at myself because I had lost weight and gained it and just felt totally out of control. So, you know, and so that was the beginning. And over the years, you know, any of my growth and recovery comes from people sharing with me. That's, you know, what I say at meetings or what I do is all what I've heard. Some of it, of course, is reading in the literature, but, you know, it's things that I've learned from other people. And to feel, you know, I've been absent for a long time, in program a long time, I can still, I mean, come planning to come here with my food and my clothes and all that stuff. But to be able to call somebody and share it is just, it just relieves it. So thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm Lynn, a compulsive overeater from Region 6. And I've been in program for 26 years and spent the first 23 trying to find every reason to find a different way of doing it. If they would just change the words, if they would just change this, if they, capital T, would just do it a little bit differently, then it would make it right for me to find a way to do it. The last 3.5 years, I've been doing it the way countless others have been doing it, and I've been abstinent and given away over 200 pounds. And higher power, all higher power. And this past year was a pretty tough one for me, but the fellowship has saved my life. And I can usually figure out now when I'm a slip is imminent, and the terminal uniqueness was coming in. If you were putting up with what I had to put up with, and why is nobody else, nobody else is doing it the way it has to do what I have to do. And I heard those words going through my head, and I made a phone call right away and said, can you find somebody else who's going through what I'm going through abstinently? And my trustee got on the phone with other trustees, and they found other people, and I got phone calls, and I called people back and found people who were going through what I was going through abstinently, and all over the world. I mean, it was just the way this program works is just fantastic. And to be able to go into any room anywhere in the world and know that it's the same is wonderful, just wonderful. And mentioning going through the stories and studying them like that, I love it. I too am a student, and but for me it's the concepts. I love studying the concepts, and for me it's that the concept that everyone has a voice, including that itty bitty pity committee in my head, that every voice in there, I have to let every voice in my head share, because otherwise there's a secret that I will eat over. But I've learned that not every one of you has to know every voice that's in there. I used to think step 5 was, you know, admit to God, myself, and to anyone who will listen the exact nature of my wrongs, but I'm getting better.
Hi, my name is Stephen L. I'm from Philadelphia, region 7. And I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you all for the workshop and the purpose to think about the fellowship, discuss how the fellowship we crave replaces our need to use food and how the relationships we form in OA support our abstinence. And I've just been thinking about how I'm so grateful for the fellowship and all the things, the steps, the traditions, the tools, because it's all been like an ongoing process of learning to trust God. I've learned to trust God, and it's an amazing miracle to experience abstinence one day at a time, trusting God with my food, not myself. And I'm thinking about how, you know, the fellowship also, to me, it's an experience of trust that I receive from the safety of the rooms. And I'm learning how to trust my relationships, the fellowship to God, too. I'm especially just really thinking about this young person that I sponsored for a few years, and we talked twice a week, and I just felt like it was so so deep and intimate to like know her struggles and her romance and then breaking up her romance, all these things I went through with her. And then a day came where she said, you know, something's happened and she needs to like not be sponsored by me anymore. And I feel like I really learned like to trust God with like how our relationships, they ebb and they flow, they come and go. And I think I used to feel like if I was going to be someone's friend or fellow or sponsor, like this commitment is like so, you know, it's like, I had to be like the best friend ever. And, you know, I had to know exactly how much to call her. And I just really learned how much to let God direct me in having the relationships in the fellowship. And it's because of the fellowship that teaches me, and because I feel that the fellowship is touched by God or higher power in every one of us imperfect people. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Rhonda. I'm a compulsive overeater from Montana and here for Region 1, or as part of Region 1. I, too, am a green dot, although I have not gotten my credentials yet. And the one thing that I wanted to be on topic with is how do I welcome others to participate and become involved in OA? What examples do I set? So I got tricked into recovery by my husband, and I got tricked into service to be a convention treasurer. First they asked me to be an intergroup treasurer, and I said, oh, no way, I can't do that for a whole year. I'll just do the convention. Being a green dot is a really good thing. You just don't have any idea. And so my recent thing that I was doing as part of intergroup service, I was researching as part of our finance committee. We have some unaffiliated meetings. So I was calling the unaffiliated meetings to find out, why are you unaffiliated? We want you. We want you to be a part of our intergroup. And in Montana, we have real rural, you know, there's like a million people in our whole state. 999,000 people, we're just under. And so we have two little meetings, unaffiliated. One of them is in Libby. Another is in Eureka. And both are relatively close to the Canadian border. And I made an outreach call to one. I did not reach anyone, and so therefore I thought, well, maybe that is not a viable meeting. And I called the person from Libby. And this person was a newcomer. Basically, she had started a meeting. She had contacted WSO to list her meeting as a meeting. And I was the first person who had ever called her. Ever. No one in OA had ever called. No one had ever come to be a part of her meeting. And I got to be that person who called her and said, hey, I'm part of this inner group, and we want you to be a part of our inner group. And I found this out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have got to get you hooked up. And I'm telling her about World Service and Region 1 and our websites and all the wonderful tools that are there and available for her. And it was such a gift that I was at a place in my recovery where I could make an outreach call. And that person in Libby is no longer suffering, you know? She has a fellowship of OA that she can connect to, even though she is still pretty much a meeting of one. You know, she now knows about online meetings and telephone meetings and our inner group. And it really is a gift to do this outreach and be a part of this program. And I'm so honored to be here. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Ross. I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Central Jersey Inner Group. Hi. And I'm like so happy to say I've been abstaining one day at a time for 34 and a half years. And there was a point where, and the fellowship is so important in my recovery, and there was a point in the late 90s when my wife became ill with a very rare and deadly form of cancer and decided to fight it. And we had to travel great distances, and it was very time-consuming between the doctors and hospital stays. And I stepped away from service above a group level. And, of course, the amount of meetings attended dropped. But thank God I was able to abstain one day at a time during that time. And sadly, in February 1999, she passed away. And I had all that time. I had the time back that I had nothing really outside of work to take my time. And yet I found I wasn't able to get back to the regular meetings. I tried, and I didn't have a home meeting as I once did before. And what happened is I started to see people on the outside, and people who had symptoms of severe and morbid obesity still suffering and not knowing, but I was looking at them, and the compassion was gone. I was beginning not to be able to walk in their shoes. And then I knew that unless I get to a regular home meeting, be it once a week, and feel and know if I'm not there that something is wrong. Because I learned also the more meetings I missed, the easier it was to miss them. But I also learned that the more I made, the easier it is to make them. And I had stepped away when she was ill from service from above group level. And I found that home meeting. And eventually I came back. And I truly, truly know God took care of me during that period, because that was a turning point, crossroads. And thank God I didn't give back that gift of abstinence. And as far as the recovery beyond the fellowship, I love all the steps. I especially love third part of the 12th step and practice these principles in all affairs. And nowhere that I heard or read or saw does it say practice these principles in all affairs in the rooms or among you only. It's in all aspects of my life. And, well, I got 2 out of 3 points. Thank you.
I'm Steve, grateful recovered compulsive eater. I'm a green dot from Region 5. And I've been abstinent since January 30th of 2006 by the grace of a higher power. I wanted to make 2 points. I started service very early on. I had a sponsor who suggested that I do service. Just a suggestion. And I've been in service ever since, and, you know, increasing levels, and this is my first time here, obviously. But what I found is that service makes me accountable. You know, being committed to being a group treasurer or taking care of the weak care list or being a region rep or any of those things, I'm accountable to people, and that helps keep me abstinent being accountable. And the other thing is regarding the fellowship, the face-to-face meetings are so important. My sponsor says to me that he believes that he needs 2 things for a meeting to be a good meeting. One is that he identifies with 1 thing that 1 person says, and 2nd, that there's hope in the meeting. And I've taken that on, and I've never been to a bad OA meeting. Thank you.
My name is Esti, and I'm compulsive overeater from Israel, Region 9. Closer, but then it's... Okay, thank you. thank you very much for the topic. Thank you very much for all the sharings from you, for other people here. And what I wanted to share with you is that when I come to think about it, I owe everything to the fellowship, because I came to OA, I didn't know, and I came to OA after struggling more than 20 years with food, with dieting, dieting for 3 months, then losing weight and coming back like a yo-yo. And when I came to OA and to the meetings, I learned what abstinence was. I didn't know anything about it. I learned that I have a disease. And first, if I have a disease, then I'm not the blame for it. And I have here the medication. They suggest here the tools, the steps. And so I learned everything about the program and about myself. I heard other people sharing, and I learned about myself because I identified with it. Somebody was sharing about her being a people pleaser. And I said, wow, I'm also like this, but what's wrong with it? I never understood. I thought it's good to be a people pleaser. What's wrong to be nice to other people? It took me a long time and some phases to learn how bad it was, how and to work on it. So many things. And the other thing that I wanted to share about you was the friends. I have the friendship of the OA people, members, the fellowship is different than other friends. That I have a lot of friends all over from the program and outside the program, but it's different. And one day I was talking with one of my sponsees, and it came to me that the difference between it. Because when I meet somebody outside of the program, I just know their name, how they look like, what they are doing, where they're working, and things like this. But I don't know anything about the inside. And in a way, the members, it's the opposite, because people are sharing from the inside. So they're talking about their emotions, their troubles, their feelings, their anything, defects. And I don't know anything about other their life. I don't know what they are, what they're doing, and it doesn't matter. So that's a different level of friendship. And that's made a difference. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Sally Hicks, and I'm a compulsive overeater covering in OA today. I make sure I set the timer. I'm notorious for not setting the timer for myself. The fellowship is so important to me is because God actually sent me to this program. I had, I was in another program for, well, I'm still in that program for a long time, and I actually fell in love with that fellowship first and thought that because I was in that one and taking care of that one that I could lose weight and I wouldn't gain weight back. I'm not drinking now, so I won't gain the weight back. And I lost weight, and I started gaining the weight back, and I was desperate. And I had this old-timer. I was crying to him one time, and I said, well, they told me that the steps, those principles would work for everything. And he said, well, honey, how it works is it gets you sober so you can go somewhere else, and you need to go to OA. And so I went to OA, and, of course, I wasn't ready. And, fast forward 17 years, I had a relapse in that program, and I got really busy doing everything I knew I needed to do and didn't know I had an eating problem, even though I had been to OA 20 years before. I was desperate. I was 300 pounds. I was doing everything in that other fellowship that I was supposed to be doing, and I prayed to God one day, and I said, what's going on, God? And God said, you need to go where they know what they're talking about. And to me, that was the fellowship, you know? I mean, I didn't want to come here. I knew it was God that sent me here, though. And I had to say the set-aside prayer at every meeting for a long time because I was so resistant. But I knew enough to know the steps work, the principles work, and that I needed this fellowship. I needed to be able to talk about, you know, digging food out of the garbage or, you know, eating even after I'm stuffed, you know. I needed to be able to do that, and I couldn't do that in another fellowship. After I stopped comparing you guys to the other fellowship, God also helped me with that. I fell in love with OA, and I found out that I was a food addict first and that I had become an alcoholic somewhere down the line, that it wasn't the opposite, and that this program has really set me free. I've had an 89-pound weight loss that first year that I've been in for 9 years. It'll be 10 years in August. I've recently gained about 20 pounds back. I think there's nothing as shameful as gaining weight in OA, but I can't leave because I don't know what the – I mean, I can't even imagine being – not being here, you know. So I'm really grateful for the fellowship, and I'm very proud to be in this program. I feel like I owe you guys, you know, and I know that as long as I don't stop, that there's always hope. So thank you.
My name is Pam. I'm a food addict and compulsive eater from San Jose, California, Region 2. I'm a green dot, too. I haven't yet received my credentials yet either, but hi. I am so excited to be here and so grateful to be here. And I'm glad my sponsor told me, get up and share and stick to the topic. So that's what I'm doing. Being involved in my OA community supports my abstinence because that key word there is community. Because my disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful, it wants to get me alone. And my tendency to isolate is a big part of this disease for me. And so when I'm part of a community, I can't do that. They won't let me isolate. They give me stuff to do. They call me on the phone. They make me feel a part of and accountable. And the disease can't talk as loud to me anymore. I can't hear it the way I used to because I'm listening to my fellows in the program and paying more attention to them. And I understand the fellowship is important, but it's only a part of the solution. It says that in the Alcoholics Anonymous book that... It's important. It's very important to have, but it's a 12-step program. The steps are vital, and the tools. And how do I welcome others to participate and become involved in OA? What examples do I set? I am always the greeter. I always jump up and I'll be a greeter and stand by the door and shake everybody down. You know, can I give you a hug? I'm a hug addict too. And I sponsor as many people as my sponsor will stand for. I have to be willing to do whatever it is that I know I need to tell them that they need to do. So I do my best. I try to follow my, I don't try, I do my best to follow my sponsor's example, which was what attracted me in the first place. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. And she was out there doing a lot of service, helping a lot of people. And I just try to follow, I work very hard to follow her example. And I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a recovering compulsive eater and very happy to be here. And a little nervous standing up here, but I just felt like nobody from Region 4 has been up here, so here I am for the cause. I went into a different fellowship in the later 70s and mid-70s that was focused on, you know, learning how to focus on myself, so to say. And so I knew that the 12 steps worked. And I was at the end of my second pregnancy. I had gained weight from letting go of smoking and whatnot. And it was totally the vanity. Somebody talked about that tonight that got me here. Well, whatever it took, right? And I have another digestive disease, so I've been in the hospital. I've been 93 pounds. I've been, 25 pounds more than this. And I've lost a lot of sanity, but I've gained a lot of sanity. And being involved in OA community, I didn't do service for a long time because I was hospitalized. I was really sick, IV nutrition and whatnot. So when I finally have been able to do it continuously, like the last 4 or 5 years, because I've been in OA, 26 years ago, that has just been such a gift to me because I can be with all of you and talk to you and see you and, be here at World Service. And, because for years I could just only deal with, my world, essentially, my kids and all of that good stuff. So I know that it affects my abstinence greatly. And somebody was talking about regress and progress. And I've had 2 summer relapses here. And each one of those, I needed to start doing more. The second one, I got a new sponsor that was much more, holding me much more accountable, which I really didn't want, but I knew I needed. And called her every day for like 5 years and started going to a second meeting. So I know that the fellowship is only part of the solution. It took me something like 20 years in OA, maybe a little less, but I was really embarrassed to do step 9. I mean, it just took me forever to do 8 and 9. I just couldn't imagine doing that one. And it held me back, but I'm so grateful now I finally got through it. I welcome others to participate. I'm one of the newcomer facilitators at home, and I really love that service, being able to work with newcomers, coming to the meetings and, to be able to see, oh, yes, I was there and I'm, I've grown with the help of all of you here. So I set an example. I'm in a small meeting and so I have to go to to intergroup, to other meetings where people have more abstinence. And I talk about doing service all the time. They're probably really sick of it. But I do. And I feel like that's the gift, that I can model to other people. I mean, I'm doing it, not for that. And if they do it, fine. And if they don't, I have that other program to focus just on me. So thanks, everybody.
Good night. My name is Viviana. I am compulsive overeater. I am green dot of the Region 8. I come from Venezuela. And I don't speak English good enough, but I try. Okay. I only speak about the how do I welcome others to participate and become involved in OA. Somebody in Bogota, I was living in Caracas, in Venezuela, but someone in Bogota asked me that what do you say to newcomers that they always keep coming back? And I said them that somebody said someday. This is the last day of your life that you know it. And it's true, because it's to me, my life today is rigorous, honestly, and it's difficult, but it's delicious. It's wow. I am like the person that I am, and it's difficult because some people doesn't like this person. They prefer that the other person, but okay. The thing is, when I say that to the person, it's true because it happened with me. And it's true, it's easily to say. And the last is, really my life is so different. When I came to OA in 2001, I usually weighed 260 pounds and not anymore. I don't speak English. I didn't speak English, never. And I am speaking English. But it's true. Badly, but okay. And then I usually live with a man. Now live with a woman, and I am so happy, and I am not embarrassment of my condition. This is different. This is true, and this is my life now. And when I say that to the newcomers said, okay, I trust, and keep coming back. Thank you.
My name is Cliff. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am a green dot, but it's already fallen off. when it talks about fellowship, I was stopping to think that I really did appreciate fellowships even before coming into program. There was always fellowship when I was studying in college. There was always fellowship when I was exercising. I used to do long-distance athletic events weighing 380 pounds. I would do triathlons, marathons, 100-mile bike rides, and I didn't lose weight. And God tricked me. And I know it was him. You know, I had been to several OA meetings when I was about 19. I was 53 years old, and I was just waiting to die. And it was April 1st, 2007. When God brought me into the room, and April Fool's Day was perfect. I know that he has a great sense of humor. And, you know, I didn't get abstinent until April 19th, 2007, which means I right now have about 8 years of abstinence. But the interesting thing about carrying it to the community and in the fellowship, I happen to have been part of a particular group that said in order to go further, you had to make 3 phone calls. And one night, I couldn't. I had made 2, but I could not get that other one in until I was, I'd already fallen asleep. I woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning in Dallas, and I'm going, okay, what's going to happen? You know, I'm going to lose this. I said, I can't call anybody on the East Coast. I can't call anybody on the West Coast. Who could I call? I could call Hawaii. I don't know anybody in Hawaii, not in program. And I said, well, how can I find somebody in program? And I thought, well, I could find a newsletter. No, couldn't find the newsletter. But what I did find is the OA website. And I looked up meetings in Hawaii, and I started calling the contact names. And I called about 8 or 9 of them, and they're sitting there saying, who is this crazy Texan calling Hawaii to find out, you know, to, you know. And to make a long story a little bit shorter was that several people that I contacted that night had no idea about the use of the phone. They became part of the program. They are abstinent today. And I am just blessed. And I went a couple of years ago to the OA convention in Cleveland and went to Akron, went to the Magnolia Hotel, and saw the directory that Bill W. saw. And there were eight or nine names that he must have called before he got Reverend Tung. I can call eight or nine people before I may get the person that God wants me to. So I'm appreciative of being here. And by the way, 190 pounds have been going, so long time. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone for being a part of this workshop and sharing so openly. We're going to now close with I Put My Hand in Yours. If everybody could circle up, and please remember that this is a fellowship prayer, and keep your eyes open, look each other in the eyes. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer.